This is a good thing. And this is the news, according to me. Well, you know, we're getting up. Look at this narrative now. This is the new narrative. Everyone's wanting to know what the new narrative is. The new narrative is, the question is, as the question always is and always should be, what is in my cup? I currently have I have several cups here, but the cup that I'm currently drinking from a straw. I happened to eat lunch at Culver's, or I got a sweet tea at Culver's, some cheese curds, of course, and a little snack that I'm having right now. It is Wednesday, trash day, November 24th, at almost noon, getting really close to noon here, Eastern Standard Time, and I am in Michigan. I'm not going to say where in Michigan, because I'm not sure where. I just don't know where I am exactly. I see a lake, and I see water. I see water in the lake, which I guess that's usually makes up the lake usually. But I've been listening. I've been doing a few things, running a few errands. I have some sweet tea with me now, which is good, of course. Which is, I'm sure, why all of you are mostly concerned about. What I'm doing, but the interesting part about this news cycle is that the media is becoming extremely they're showing their cards more or less. Anyone who's paying attention, and I think more people are actually paying attention more and more. It's kind of encouraging to see that people are actually kind of noticing what's going on with the media. The new narrative, though, however, and of course this is coming from MSNBC and CNN are both now in on this, and you have to wonder why people don't see this more often than they do. But this idea, you know, we have inflation is starting to ramp up right now. And sadly, a lot of people aren't noticing it. They aren't really paying attention. It's not really hitting the pocketbooks just yet. I think as Thanksgiving comes through and we start to see costs go up, and then we start to see the gas prices rise, and we start to see the cost of food go up with the shortages that we're having. On top of all of this, which is kind of like a perfect storm situation, because we have supply chain issues, we're going to have shortages, this administration has taken about 9 months to do what it took 4 years for Carter to do, more like 3 years, I guess, for Carter to do. It's rampant, perfect storm stuff here. We're seeing inflation go up like crazy. We're dumping money into the market. This Build Back Better baloney. It's just going to throw more fire onto the problem. And do people really think that the answer to our problems is government spending? More government spending? We just need more government spending. That's going to solve all the problems if the government just spends more money. You see, the problem that most people don't understand is that the government doesn't make money. They don't do anything that creates revenue. They don't produce anything. They take money from you and me. And they need to tax. They want to tax the rich and tax the big corporations. Where do you think that tax goes? It goes into the price of the products. Businesses are not going to stay in business if they can't maintain a profit. If it's not a profitable business, they can't maintain it. It's not sustainable. Period. And yet people think, they just got all this money out there. They're just making all that money. They can just We can just get all that money from them. Now there, sure, are there greedy corporations? Well, sure, there are greedy people in corporations. Corporations aren't people, by the way. But they're made up of people. And some of those people have very base, very bad motivations. So my advice to you is to not buy things from those people. If you don't like the way they operate, if you don't like the way they are, if you don't like their philosophy of life. But we have this, it's a strange narrative now that's coming out of, now imagine if inflation and food shortages, shortages of all kinds, transportation issues, just name it, any kind of all the crap that's going to happen here in the next, as it hits the fan in the next few months. We're really not going to see the fruition of this until, I would say it's going to be about 4 or 5 months yet before this really starts to settle into the public psyche. Now, it could happen faster than that because as the Christmas season goes through, and then people kind of get through this whole holiday season with family and everything that's going on, it really is going to start becoming noticeable, I think, about February and March. And again, around tax time in April. So, here's the problem. The MSNBC and CNN are both saying inflation is a good thing. I'm not kidding. Let that soak in for a moment. They're saying inflation is a good thing. Now, wages are rising. The average American back in Obama's day, in the eight years that Obama was president, the average household income went up $1,000 over 8 years. From the time that Trump took office to the time Trump left office, the average household income went up over $6,000. That's even with the last year of COVID playing into the fact. It would have been higher than that. The first 3 years was actually higher than that. I think it was over $8,000. It went down in the year of COVID. Now, wages are going up. However, inflation is outpacing wages by almost 3 times, which means you're not actually making any more money because you're actually behind. You're falling behind the cost of living. And people aren't feeling it quite just yet because, again, there's like a caboose effect with this whole thing. But think about who this affects the most. Inflation actually affects the poor among us more than anyone else. The middle class, there are more people who are in the middle class, considered middle class or lower middle class, that will slip into basically poverty because they are unable to maintain or keep up or go forward with any kind of a standard of living, and costs of everything go up. They have to start cutting back. Now, the lower middle class pretty much on average lives from paycheck to paycheck. This is the sad part about where the middle class is today, which it absolutely does not need to be this way. The way to manage your money, it's poor management of money, poor ability to create and produce income, has a lot to do with that. And people who have chosen to just work however, whatever they are, they just want to go punch clock, and when they get done at the end of the day, they punch up, punch out, and be done. That's just and then they don't walk away with any responsibilities for work when they go away from work. I understand that. It's not necessarily a bad way to live. Because when you do have other responsibilities that you're carrying home with you all the time, you're never really off work. I get that. So we have CNN and MSNBC now are both, you're starting to hear them saying, all the pundits are starting to say, inflation is a good thing, higher gas prices are a good thing. Now, they did this during the Obama administration as well, and I've mentioned this before, that higher gas prices means that the demand is up, and that means the economy is good. They don't look at the reasons for why gas prices are up. They don't look at the reasons for why inflation is happening. They're saying it's because it's our fault because demand is up now. We were in the midst of a... Now, I just want to remind you, about a year ago, 2 years ago, we were in the highest demand and the highest, hottest economy in terms of job numbers. Fuel prices were low. We had plenty of things. The manufacturing jobs were coming back to the country. We were starting to manufacture things here in the United States again. All those things were happening. And people were consuming at the highest rates of ever, that they ever have. And yet we had low fuel prices, low inflation, and people's wages were going up. People were pulling themselves out of debt, living a higher, they had a higher standard of living. The lower middle class was starting to catch up with the upper middle class. The middle class was actually growing to some degree. And of course, there were a lot of millionaires. I mean, now, there are a lot of people in the sector that during the COVID years, there were a lot of millionaires that made more money because of all the imbalances that there were in the way the government got involved in shutting some things down and opening other things, which always leaves, when the government starts picking and choosing the winners and losers, that there's usually a reason why they'll pick a particular winner or loser. And it's a lot of times it's because the money that's flowing back to them, to the politicians that are making those decisions. But this ludicrous, asinine idea that inflation is good and higher gas prices are good or they're a good sign is beginning to be pushed by the leftist lamestream media. And I'm telling you, it is absolutely stupid. It is absolutely insane. So, when you hear it, now pay attention. Next time you hear, if you happen to be listening to CNN or MSNBC, or happen to kind of look, if you want to click on a YouTube video by one of those pundits, you will hear it said. I guarantee you. And it is absolutely ridiculous. So we shall see what we shall see over the next few months. But don't worry, Joe Biden's running again. He's running in 2024. He's reassured us he's going to stick around and keep it going. Which, as I've said before, when Joe says something, the opposite is true. So, I keep hearing people say, oh, Biden doesn't have a chance in 2024. I don't think we are, I don't know why people think that, or they don't realize, people get older and people die. And it's a part of life. And Joe is at that stage in life that there's no way that he's going to make it through another 3 years. I just don't understand, at least not to be cognitive enough to be president. And I'm not saying he's not going to be alive in 3 years. I'm saying it's becoming painfully obvious now that Joe is going down the ever slippery slope of losing cognitive ability. And it amazes me that people on the right are saying, oh, Joe is, you know, what he's doing now is going to destroy the Democrats' chances in 2024. And again, 2022, of course, is the, you know, the next major. There's going to be a, you know, major landslide to the Republican Party. Well, maybe, maybe not. It's, we're a year, almost a year away from the 2022 election. Of course, with early voting, they'll be starting next week, probably. However, it's hard to tell what kind of shenanigans, as they call them, people are going to play next year when it comes to the elections. Now, of course, we're still, you know, into the age of COVID. I'm sure they're going to still require mail-in ballots. We have to have mail-in ballots because of the pandemic, which actually is not a pandemic anymore. By the definition of pandemic, it actually is over. It's actually now, it's just an endemic. It's what's called endemic disease. But you can't tell, you know, they have to fact check that stuff, you know, to fact check it. I'm looking into a lot more of the data that's been out there. We have been getting lied to like crazy. It's the CDC and the FDA and the World Health Organization are constantly in conflict with regard to what they're saying about the science of everything. Of course, we're always told about we have to be science believers. We're science deniers. And of course, we have to let the experts tell us what to do. Of course, because we can't, you know, understand things on our own. Now, there's a particular doctor I was listening to the other day, really good instructor, and this is like a college level type of video. This guy was, I think he actually teaches in college. I think this was a video he actually was putting out because he was teaching college level. He's a professor of some kind, doctor. And he was putting out several videos about how protein cells work and how spike proteins work and all the things that vaccines do. He was also explaining ADE and some other things that were involved in the whole the antibody dependent enhancement issue. And I talked about that on my last, I think it was my last show or the show before, I talked about ADE a little bit. He was explaining a lot of stuff, but what happens with a vaccine and how that all works. Now, the mRNA vaccine is different, and they're not really addressing that. And one of the reasons for the booster is exactly going down the road of what Dr. Robert Malone, who was the initial person who put the thesis together for mRNA vaccines. The lady who then took that, his research, and went and rolled on with it and kind of put it into development through with the company she was working for at the time, was really the person who brought it to fruition, or brought it into, you know, manifested what his research was all about. His research is mostly theoretical, but it was all based on what he was doing with it. Actually, doing things to fight cancer, and came out with, and they discovered that it may be usable for other things such as vaccination. Now, Dr. Malone's concern was that the vaccination itself was not actually working to build up antibodies within the natural ability for the body to build up antibodies. And here's where it's very troubling to realize that he probably was correct. The vaccinated people don't seem to have any kind of long-lasting resistance. Normally, when a person takes a vaccine, even the flu vaccine, every year there's kind of a different strain of flu. It mutates slightly, so you get a different flu shot every year. and they have to try to pick the best one that they can find, whichever one they think is going to be the major outbreak. That's why people sometimes will, you know, they still get a flu vaccine, and there'll still be a flu outbreak. There's a couple things on this issue. One is the breakthrough cases, as well as the issues with the vaccine here. I'm going to try to address some of these very carefully and try to keep my thoughts straight here with this, because it can be a little bit confusing. The mRNA vaccine, normally a vaccine, what they do with most vaccines is they actually inject a weaker version or strain of the virus into you, that it's not a strong enough one that will affect you too badly. But it's enough that your body will create antibodies. And then your B cells, there are T cells and B cells and all kinds of other kind of cells. And I'm not a doctor. I'm not a, you know, I just play one on this podcast. But the way it works is the B cells are where the memory, your body's ability to recreate those antibodies comes from the B cells generally, predominantly. So your body develops this, you may not even, you know, you could be tested and not have any antibodies. However, your body is actually able to produce antibodies very quickly. Now, the key to having antibodies in your system is that you become resistant to the virus actually taking, building up to the point where you are transmissible. In other words, you are not contagious. You could be exposed to the virus, and your body does not become a walking, talking transmitter or carrier of that virus. You might be carrying the virus itself, but your transmissibility is extremely low because your body's basically fighting it off already. It's not the virus isn't having a chance to really get a foothold. Now, if you have gone beyond the point of antibodies, then your body starts to react, starts to recreate antibodies. You might get a little bit sick at that point, but you most likely, as long as it's the same strain, you will not have that same effect. You will be slightly contagious to some degree. The breakthrough, what they call breakthrough infections, with vaccinated individuals is acting very differently. The truth be told, and this is where the dirty little secret in the numbers is going. And this is what really kind of bothers me. This one doctor, I can't think of his name right now. I subscribed to him on YouTube. He's extremely analytical, just looks at the numbers, doesn't get involved in the politics. He'll say some things that some people don't about the vaccine that people that are anti-vaccine don't like, and he'll say some things that on the other side that people are pro-vaccine don't like, because he's just stating facts in terms of numbers and actual data. And of course, the data sometimes can be skewed, and he talks about that as well. He'll go in to say that the comparison on certain data, this doesn't make any sense, and he'll look at this and say this is why this is the way it looks here, and this is the way it looks there, and he said this is obviously being, you know, this is not being reported correctly. Because he'll do a lot of comparisons and say these are outliers, you know, certain things are outliers, or there's obviously things that are wrong with particular. He just looks at the numbers, and he's extremely good at analyzing and putting those things together. One of the things that he's noticing is that the vaccinated population is becoming larger, of course. So there is a growing number of people in hospital who are vaccinated because this just goes back to percentages and simple math. If 100% of the population was vaccinated and you had anybody going to the hospital, well, obviously 100% of the people in the hospital are going to be vaccinated individuals. Well, that you can't say that, well, now everybody that's there is vaccinated. Simply because everybody is, that's just the numbers. Now, of course, the numbers are down because unvaccinated individuals, at least for the most part, as far as we know, what we've been being told, unvaccinated individuals have a higher propensity to end up in the hospital and end up in serious condition or dying. The vaccine apparently does protect from that on the outset, initially. Okay, so herein lies the problem. The vaccine does not provide or help the body create any natural immunity. In other words, your body is not going to have B cells or natural antibodies. And this is this the reason is, and this is what Dr. Malone was talking about. Cytotoxicity from the vaccine, that your body is creating a cytotoxic condition that the virus cannot live in. This is the way I understand it. I could be very, very wrong. So your body is not actually developing antibodies to fight the virus. Your body is in a toxic mode, a toxic situation that kills off the virus because it cannot live in that particular toxin. There's no antibodies being created by your body. There's no natural immunity being formed. If you get the virus and you don't have the vaccine, you fight it off, your body has fought it off, and your body is the one that's created, that's where the antibodies have come from. With the vaccine, it seems to be blocking the body's natural ability, or the body just doesn't respond the same because it doesn't need to, because the cytotoxicity is killing off the virus. And it's kind of getting in the way of your body being able to create the antibodies, reacting the way it would in the natural. Granted, it's very effective at fighting off the virus. But it wanes so quickly, and when it does diminish, you don't have the long-term antibody effects that natural immunity has. Now, there are some people out there, there are some doctors out there now that are saying that, and Fauci, I think, is himself, they're poo-pooing this whole idea that natural immunity can last very long. This flies directly in the face of all of the actual peer-reviewed studies that are out there in the world. Now, there's, of course, the one in it from Israel is cited most often, and it's an ongoing study, by the way. It's also peer-reviewed, but it's an ongoing study, and it continues to be proven to be correct and accurate. There's another one in India that followed the same exact protocol. It was the same thing and the same results. There are other studies now in other countries that are showing exactly the same results. Somehow, in the United States, the FDA somehow came out with some, or maybe it was the CDC, came out with some study all of a sudden here in the U.S. They won't, it's not peer-reviewed, and they won't talk about it. But it's some kind of a study that they're citing now that they have discovered that the natural immunity wanes and is only lasts two to three months. That's all it lasts. Even though there were plenty of studies prior to that, even by some of the universities in this country, that were saying it was lasting up to 8 to 9 months, and this was 8 to 9 months after the outbreak. You can't really test people beyond, can't say it's going to last 5 years because nobody's had it for 5 years. Now, there are other COVID viruses, SARS viruses, that have broken out, and people have maintained antibodies for 12 years or more, in some cases. So is it possible that people could maintain immunity to this thing? But here's what just makes no sense, absolutely no sense whatsoever. There is no recognition for people who are naturally immune, people who have what they call recovered from COVID, who have survived COVID and now have natural antibodies. There's no recognition for those people at all. The alarming thing for me, as I see it, is that the people who have, now that we have a higher population of vaccinated individuals, We are still seeing spikes and increases in cases. Tell me now, does this make sense? And now this gets back to, again, the numbers of people who are vaccinated, the number of breakthrough cases are really much, much higher than what is being reported, because we tend to not test vaccinated individuals that don't have any symptoms. Why would we? Well, I'm vaccinated. I don't have any symptoms. I don't have a temperature. Okay, then you can come on in. And you don't have to wear a mask, and we're not going to lock you down. So they're allowed to continue on, potentially carrying the virus, with just as high of a viral load as anyone who is not vaccinated, or even someone who's had, the science would say that even a person who has had COVID before has natural immunity, has a lower viral load if they get the virus again, if they contract it a second time. And that is possible. It is possible to get it twice. It's very, very rare. However, it is possible. I'm not going to say it's not possible. However, it seems that the nasal pharynx, or whatever it's called, it carries a much, much lower viral load than someone who's vaccinated who has a breakthrough case. But the numbers are skewed because we don't know. Realistically, it sounds as if you start looking at the one study that has come out that was not peer-reviewed yet, but the preliminary information suggests that the viral load, the transmissibility or the spread of COVID among vaccinated individuals is apparently just about as high as it is among people who are not vaccinated. Now, here's the problem with this. If it's continued to be spread through vaccinated individuals, and they are not developing a natural immunity to it, that means they can continue to contract it and spread it. Of course, if you keep getting boosted and you keep getting, you have the fully vaccination and then you have the booster, there are places now that are talking about the fourth booster shot. We haven't even had this vaccine for over a year. And we're already talking about four shots. The fully vaccinated and the booster shots. We're talking about two booster shots. If we continue to keep this cytotoxicity going, this is going to keep the virus going, because there's no natural immunity being formed. There's no real herd immunity, because there's no immunity, basically. We're just finding a way to get rid of the symptoms while we're still carrying the virus around. The people that's really dangerous for are the unvaccinated, who are walking around amongst the vaccinated individuals who may be carrying the virus. They're the dangerous ones. I'm not going to say one is more dangerous than the other. All I'm saying is it's a dangerous combination. And the problem is for the unvaccinated. Not the other way around. The unvaccinated are not going to affect the vaccinated, obviously. That's a stupid premise. Well, if a person's vaccinated, why are they afraid of somebody who's unvaccinated? It really should be the other way around. Unvaccinated individuals should be afraid of vaccinated individuals, because they could be carrying it and not know it. The vast majority are asymptomatic. So that's where we are with this. I hope that I've kind of made myself clear on this, because the hysteria flies the other direction. It's actually kind of the opposite of what you would think it should be. So I digress. And of course, as my bumper music starts to cut in here, I can see that it's about time that I bid you adieu. So, that's all I'm going to say about that. I hope this, now I'm not saying I'm going to write on all these issues here, but this is the logic that I see before us. And I think that we need to take account of everything that's going on and actually look at the seriously look at the numbers. So let's look at numbers. Next week we'll work on letters. Well, everybody has a great day. God bless. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and sharing, and all that stuff. Take care, everybody.